A draft of the FTAA still hasn't been made public. So what's all the secrecy about? Critics say it's to hide the fact that the FTAA is about much more than free trade.
International trade matters. You know, the movement of goods across borders is really a very small aspect of what's on the table.
Scott Sinclair is a senior researcher at the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives, a progressive think tank based in Ottawa.
We have rules on investment, services, intellectual property that really go to the heart of whether democratically elected governments can balance commercial interests with the public interest.
Sinclair is primarily referring to the North American Free Trade Agreement. NAFTA is the model for the FTAA. It contains a controversial chapter that allows companies to sue foreign governments if public health and environmental regulations hurt their business. Dozens of such suits have been filed since NAFTA was ratified. For instance, a U.S. company invested in a toxic waste dump in Mexico. When the Mexican government found the site was contaminating groundwater, it rezoned the area to prohibit further waste dumping. The company sued Mexico. Robert Stumberg, professor of law at Georgetown University, says suits like this one give an international body of non-elected judges power over a nation's health, safety, and environmental protections. They determine whether a policy is appropriate under the trade agreements.
And if they conclude that it's not, these international tribunals have the authority to impose economic sanctions as a strong incentive to require national governments or states or provinces or even cities, perhaps, to alter their laws.
Multinational companies say the suits have nothing to do with changing laws, though. Stephen Kanner, vice president for investment policy at the U.S. Council of International Business, says the suits are included in free trade pacts to protect corporate investments. Kanner cites the toxic waste dump case in Mexico.
What the Mexican government did was in the dock of the night, after the transaction was approved by all of the Mexican authorities, without any due process, the local government basically put in some rules that had the effect of querying the deal. It's a matter of keeping governments honest.
Participant governments, meanwhile, are looking more and more closely at the international lawsuits. Canadian Trade Minister Pierre Pettigrew is worried the suits are more investor-friendly than they were intended to be. And the U.S., Canada, and Mexico have agreed to review the controversial NAFTA chapter next month. The FTAA is expected to contain another controversial provision, opening borders to the trade of services as well as goods, things like construction, utilities, and education. The idea is that services would become cheaper for everyone if more competition is involved. But it could hurt local service providers who can't compete with global firms. And, says Scott Sinclair of the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives, it would leave not-for-profits, such as community colleges, open to NAFTA-like lawsuits for having an unfair advantage over their commercial competitors.
If we make commitments in commercial education under these agreements, then those community colleges will be exposed to charges that they're competing unfairly because their facilities are supported by the public.
All services are open for negotiation in the FTAA, including public ones like water treatment, education, and health care. But individual governments can choose to protect some of them, and the U.S. says it will. Intellectual property rights are also a concern of critics. When you invent a drug in the U.S., your patent is generally good for 20 years, meaning everyone else has to pay you to use the drug for the term of the patent. But every country has different patent rules, and yours may be no good in, say, Honduras. So companies in Honduras can make a cheaper, generic version of your drug. U.S. pharmaceutical and biotech firms want the FTAA to protect their patents throughout the Americas. Robert Weissman of the corporate accountability group Central Action says stronger intellectual property rights could trigger a public health crisis by raising the cost of drug treatment.
We're likely to see people who would otherwise get access to treatment go without treatment. And when it comes to HIV/AIDS, if you don't get treatment, the diagnosis is a death sentence. So lives are really at stake in the outcome of these trade negotiations.
The outcome depends on the relative weight of the private right to invest, which can be measured in dollars, against the public interest, something that's usually measured in votes. Ken Gould, professor of sociology at St. Lawrence University, has been studying globalization for 20 years. In that time, he's seen a shift in the balance between the rights of citizens and the rights of corporations.
Corporations don't ask the public to vote, People may like to think that shopping is voting, but $1, one vote at the supermarket is not the same thing as one person, one vote at the ballot. The provision specifically for freeing private investment, I think that's the Trojan horse that's hidden in here that may surprise a lot of people.
It's that Trojan horse that protesters in Quebec City say they're trying to expose. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm David Summerstein.